submit this time of proclamation to the Lord. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank and praise you that you are a great God. We want to thank you that you're worthy of all praise. And Father, tonight we want to thank you that we're going to see how the psalmist sing you as a great God. One who was gracious, one who was merciful, one who was his rescuer and deliverer. Father, now as we turn to the proclamation of your word, in the words of my mouth, in the meditations of my heart, bring glory and honour to your name alone. Father, speak to us tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight in Psalm 3, we're going to see that King David's confidence for deliverance comes from the Lord. King David's confidence for deliverance comes from the Lord. Over the last two Sunday evenings, we have been looking at the first two Psalms. And we see that the first two Psalms are an introduction to the whole Psalter. We saw in Psalm 1, to be happy, to be blessed, we need to delight in the law of God. We need to meditate on God's law day and night. Last week, we saw that those who are blessed are those who have taken refuge in the Lord's anointed, Jesus Christ. Today, this evening, our focus is on Psalm 3. Psalm 3 is a psalm that is full of hope for those who are heavy-hearted. We see in this psalm that even King David, a powerful and wealthy king, has his troubles to face. King David faces rebellion from those who should have been loyal to him, from those he should have been able to depend on with his very life. Psalm 3 is the first psalm with a title. Its title informs us where this psalm comes in history. We're told at the very top of the psalm, before verse 1, that it is a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. In this psalm, we're going to see that even though King David's enemies believe in verse 2 that there is no salvation, no deliverance for him from God, King David's confidence for deliverance comes from the Lord. David calls God his shield, his glory, and the lifter of his head. In verse 7, we see David prays a prayer of petition, a prayer of request, a prayer of a battle cry to his God, to the one he believed could deliver him from his enemies. In verse 8, David tells us that salvation, deliverance, belongs to the Lord. David's confidence for deliverance comes from the Lord. Let's work our way firstly through the text, and after we have considered the text, then we will consider application for the text. In verses 1 and 2, we see King David describes his circumstances. Here we see the psalmist expressing the crisis that he sees himself in. The psalmist faces a crisis because his son Absalom has risen up against him. In verse 1, King David tells us that he is facing disloyalty. He cries out to the Lord. He tells the Lord that he has many enemies. He explains to the Lord that in fact that these many enemies are currently rising up against him at this very moment. In verse 2, David tells the Lord what his many enemies are saying about his current situation. His current situation seems totally hopeless to his enemies. His enemies believe that the Lord God is not going to deliver the psalmist. His enemies believe that God is not going to rescue and save him from their wrath. His enemies believe that King David, in fact, is doomed. The psalmist believes. The psalmist only shall believe either God cannot or will not deliver him from this crisis. His enemies want him dead. They want him removed from the throne and replaced by his son, Absalom. And as far as they are concerned, God himself is not going to stop them on their mission to remove and to do away with King David. We see King David's enemies directly attack the source of King David's hope and confidence for deliverance. King David's hope and confidence for deliverance from his enemies is rooted and founded in the Lord God himself. King David's confidence for deliverance comes from the Lord. We can see the story of rebellion against King David by his son Absalom in 2 Samuel chapters 15 to chapter 19. In 2 Samuel chapter 14 to 25, we are told that Absalom was a very good-looking guy. All the women in Jerusalem would have found him as hot stuff. It says, in all Israel, there was no one so much to be praised for his handsome appearance as Absalom. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, he was without blemish. There was no blemish in him. But Samuel also tells us something else about this Absalom boy. Samuel tells us that he was a cunning young man. He was a plotter. He was one who desired to conspire. And we see in 2 Samuel chapter 15 verses 2 to 6 how Absalom has a conspiracy to remove his father from the throne. We see in fact how Absalom has stole the hearts of the men of Israel, it states. And Absalom used to rise early and stand beside the way of the gate. And when any man had a dispute to come before the king for judgment, Absalom would call to him and say, "From what city are you?" And when he said, "Your servant is of such and such a tribe in Israel," Absalom would say to him, "See, your claims are good and right, but there is no man designated by the king to hear you." Then Absalom would say, and this is where the cunning bit really comes in, this is where the conspiracy plan really hits home, "Oh, that I were judge in the land, that every man with a dispute or cause might come to me, and I would give him justice. Whenever a man came near to pay homage to him, he would put out his hand and take hold of him and kiss him, as Absalom did to all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel." In 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 13, we see that a messenger comes to King David to tell him that the hearts of all the men of Israel have gone after Absalom. So what does King David do? Well, 2 Samuel chapter 15 tells us how King David and his servants fled Jerusalem to escape the wrath of Absalom. 2 Samuel 15 verse 30 tells us how David went up the ascent of the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went, barefooted and with his head covered. And all the people who were with him covered their heads. And they went up, weeping as they went. But now we realise that King David is having one heck of a bad day. And by now you would think by this stage that things just could not get any worse for King David on this day. Well, the Bible tells us, in fact, they do. In 2 Samuel chapter 16, we see David has an encounter with a relative of Saul. His name is Shimei. Shimei seems to be a man who loved cursing. Through his encounter with David, all he done was curse continually at David. The Bible tells us that he threw stones and flung dirt at David from the hillside opposite to the road David was travelling. He threw that many stones and dirt at David. 2 Samuel 16 and verse 6 tells us that David's servants had to totally surround King David to protect him from Shimei's attack. Shimei tells David in 2 Samuel chapter 16 verses 7 to 8, get out, you man of blood, you worthless man. The Lord is avenging you on the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has given the kingdom into the hands of your son. See, your evil is on you, for you are a man of blood. Following David's encounter with Shimei, we are told in 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 14 that the king and his people that was with him travelled and arrived exhausted at the River Jordan. David has just experienced probably the most worst possible day of his life. He has had to flee Jerusalem. He has had to flee from his life. He has had to leave his throne. All he left behind was 10 concubines. He has experienced his son's, Absalom's, disloyalty. He has heard the message of his enemies loud and clear. Here is a man who we should see who should be very discouraged. We should see a man here who should be hitting rock bottom. We should see a man who should be angry, afraid, frustrated, and totally bewildered. But you know what, men and women? That is not the case at all. King David's confidence for deliverance comes from the Lord. In verses 3 and 4, we see King David displaying this confidence in God. King David turns to the Lord God, the one David's enemies claims that will not be able to deliver him. In verse 3, we see David's ongoing faith, trust, and confidence is firmly in the Lord God. He says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head." The psalmist describes God as a shield. A shield is used by a warrior to protect himself from the attacks, the arrows, the missiles that the enemy throws at him. A shield can only protect the warrior in the direction that the shield is being pointed at. However, King David tells us that he tells the Lord, "You are a shield about me, all around me." David's confidence is that God, as a shield, will protect him no matter which direction the attack is coming from. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, we see God calling himself a shield. It says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." This is not the first occasion in the book of Psalms that the psalmist calls God his shield. Another example is Psalm 18 and verse 2. It states, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." David's confidence is that God, it will be a shield of protection to him from his many enemies. Secondly, we see King David describes God as my glory. David is saying, "It was and is the Lord who has anointed me king over Israel. God is the one who has given me my being and everything that I have. Now that my life is in danger, my confidence, my glory is in the Lord God to sustain and to protect me from those who desire to harm me." Thirdly, we see David calling God the lifter of my head. David finds himself in trouble. He has been betrayed by his son and many of his people. They have left him humiliated. They have humiliated his kingship, and they have humiliated him in front of the surrounding nations. We are told that David wept. He mourned in stress and in hardship. But David speaks of God as the one who is the lifter of his head. David's confidence is that God will raise him back up to his throne. David's confidence is that God will remove his trouble. David's confidence is that God is his helper through this fierce storm that he is currently facing. In verse 4, we see the psalmist continues to place his confidence and trust in God alone. He tells us that he cries out aloud to the Lord. He has cried aloud to the one his enemies believes will not be able to help him. Verse 4 tells us that the psalmist is confident that the Lord will answer him from his holy hill. Yet the psalmist is telling us that his confidence and trust is that God will answer his prayer as he has done in previous experiences. David's confidence for deliverance comes from the Lord. In verses 5 and 6, we see the psalmist's display of confidence in God becomes, in fact, his action plan. We see the psalmist's display of confidence in God becomes his action plan. The psalmist in verse 5 tells us that even though his life is in such danger, even though he's just experienced his world been turning right upside down, he still manages to get a night's sleep. The psalmist went to sleep trusting in the Lord. The psalmist is speaking to us now the morning after receiving a night of sleep. He tells us, I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord has sustained me. He doesn't tell us that he went to bed and struggled to sleep. What he does tell us is that the Lord has watched over him through the night. The Lord protected and kept him safe as he slept. And it is for these reasons that he woke in the morning alive and well. David has grasped the realization that the very fact he has woken is down to God's sovereign power and authority. With this realization, we see in verse 6 that King David's confidence in God for deliverance from his enemies reaches an all-high climax. He says, I will not be afraid of many thousands of people. The psalmist has such confidence in the Lord, knowing that he is his all-surrounding shield, that he now confesses no fear of his enemies. And David's confidence for deliverance comes from the Lord. In verse 7, we see David's confidence is in God to deliver him from his rebellious enemies. And this leads him to pray a prayer of petition, a prayer of request. It is a battle cry of confidence, asking God to arise, asking God to save him, to strike all my enemies, and to break the teeth of the wicked. The psalmist in verse 1 told the Lord and us how his enemies were rising up against him. He told us how his enemies believed that God could not deliver him. In verse 7, we see the psalmist praying in confidence to his Lord, saying the very opposite. Arise, save me from my enemies. The psalmist is in no doubt that God, in his grace, can rescue him from his enemies. What does God do? In 2 Samuel chapter 17, we see how God allowed Absalom to listen to Hushai's unwise advice. Hushai told Absalom not to pursue his father with an army that same day when King David was most vulnerable. In 2 Samuel chapter 18, we see how King David musters an army together to engage in battle with Absalom and his enemies in the forest of Ephraim. David's army won a great and mighty victory that day. The Bible tells us that 20,000 men were slain. including King David's son, Absalom. And this, the killing of Absalom, went against King David's orders. After David's battle cried prayer to God, David states in Psalm 3 and verse 8, salvation, deliverance belongs to the Lord. King David's confidence for deliverance comes from the Lord. Tonight, as we consider application for Psalm 3, may I ask you and I a question. Tonight, who is your confidence in tonight for deliverance? Who is your confidence in tonight for salvation? Tonight, is your confidence in the Lord for deliverance, for salvation? Tonight, if you're here as a follower of Jesus Christ, you will believe with all your heart that God has met your greatest need by delivering you from being an enemy of God to becoming a child of God. And how did you do that? Through his one and only Son, the greatest deliverer of all time, the Lord Jesus Christ. God in his grace has delivered us from our greatest enemy, the father of all lies, Satan himself. Satan seeks to destroy our lives. Satan wants us to live out our lives by completely and totally violating the law of God on the broad road that leads to destruction. Satan wants us and wants to have us as his captive slaves. Satan tells us the lie that God can't deliver us. But tonight, men and women, the Bible teaches us very clearly that God in his grace has sent the Redeemer of God's elect, the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver us, to free us from the bondage that our sin deserves. Tonight, as followers of Christ, our confidence for deliverance from sin and eternal death is found on Jesus Christ alone. Our confidence for being justified in the sight of God and been set free from the wrath of God is in Jesus Christ alone. Our confidence of being that member of the congregation of the righteous in the great and final judgment of the earth in the new heaven and the new earth is in Jesus Christ alone. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, for it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Believer here tonight, our confidence for eternal life is not that we have chosen God, but that he has chosen us. The psalmist in Psalm 40 tells us, he drew me up from the pit of destruction. He set my feet upon a rock. He put a new song in my mouth. God in his grace has done for us, believer, tonight what we could never do for ourselves. He has saved us. He has made us his chosen people, his royal priesthood. Tonight, is that your confidence? Tonight is your confidence for deliverance from sin founded in Christ. King David's confidence was founded in the Lord. Tonight, if your confidence for deliverance for sin is not founded in Christ, can I graciously and humbly point you to him tonight? Christ is the only one who can deliver you. If God is stirring your heart tonight, if God is speaking to you tonight through his holy and inspired word, receive him. Place your confidence in him for deliverance alone. King David's confidence for deliverance comes from the Lord. In Psalm 3, we see King David has found himself facing one of the greatest days and one of the greatest struggles that any human ruler will ever face. Disloyalty and betrayal from his inner circle. Throughout this trouble, King David's confidence continually was founded in the Lord. Throughout our lives, we will face troubles. And some of you will be here tonight and you have faced many troubles. There will be others here and it just hasn't come your way yet. But face the reality, it will come. The trouble of physical health, maybe the trouble of depression, the trouble and storm of bereavement, family difficulties, financial hardships, and the list could go on and on and on. But here's the question. How are we going to cope while we face these troubles head on? Will we be like King David? Will we be able to go to our bed and sleep knowing with great confidence that the Lord is our deliverer and the Lord is with us right in the eye, in the midst, and the most difficult moments of those storms of life? Will it be said of us that the Lord is our shield surrounding us? Will we be able to say that He is our glory, that He is the one who is the lifter of our heads? Will our confidence be in the one who we can cry out to the Lord and lay our troubles before His throne of grace, knowing that He will answer our prayers according to His providential will alone? Will we be able to walk through the troubles that this life throws at us and not be afraid? But knowing that the fact is that God is sovereign and that He will use these troubles to grow our faith and our confidence in Him alone. May it be said of us tonight that our confidence for deliverance is found in Christ alone. Amen.